Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
All right, welcome back to the show. I'm pumped. Now, before we get going, we just got to start with a disclaimer right out of the gate. If you think the proficiency and the quality of this broadcast is a bit less than normal and not up to the silver standard that we hold ourselves to, being the most scintillating hour of finance radio, it's because we brought in a ringer. We got my boy Jerry Nash working the boards for us. And the kid, I call him the kid, he's talented. It's a high bar. Darren is out of town. Where's Darren? Where did he go? Italy. Okay, never mind. I'm not feeling bad for him. If you're on vacation in Italy or somewhere like that or tropical, you can't say nice things about people that are on those kind of vacations. It's not polite. Anyway, I'm pumped. Been out of town. Did spring break with the kiddos down south. Got my fill of In-N-Out Burger. We went through the drive-thru and we ordered three kids meals, and my wife's like, what do you want? So she puts it in order. And then, I'm not embarrassed to admit this. I ordered 8 double doubles. My wife looks at me and she goes, what are you going to do with those? And I go, baby, I put them in the fridge. I'm going to snack on these things all week. And she thought that was a bit grotesque and over the top. But, we don't have it up here. And no knock on our boy Saul Spady. Dix does a phenomenal job. I'm not downplaying. Anyway, I'm already getting off course. See this? We got so much to talk about. Anyway, wow, a lot went on. Lot going on. So much to get to. We've got huge action going on in one of our favorite pet talks. And we're going to get into it again. And Tesla, okay? And we're not going to talk about it for the reasons that everybody else does. Again, you guys know that we've got no positions in Tesla. We've advised you not to have any positions in Tesla. I want to go back over why we advised you not to have any positions in Tesla. I also want to use it as a model for what you got to look for in investing. How to sniff out BS. You can say BS on the radio, right? It's not the word, just initials. You could be talking about Bradley Smith, your good buddy, But, these are important things in investing, and I think everybody can learn from the Tesla scenario, whether it's real estate deals you're doing with your family, but to smell through the BS. And when something doesn't smell right, there's virtually always a reason why. Okay? So we're going to go over that. We're also going to revisit Boeing. Some really interesting action in Boeing going on. Boy, did you look at the timeline on that? I don't want to call it lucky. Probably it makes us look probably smarter than we were. But we talked about Boeing when it was at that all-time high of 446 on March 1, I believe, is when that show aired. And boy, the stuff that has come out since. And again, I want to go over that again, not to toot our horn. Guys, I've been wrong on other things. But there are rules and principles and foundations that we can learn from all of these situations and add it to our notebook. And not just in terms of investing, right? In terms of life as well. Being able to smell when something's off. Got a GDP report today. Looks really good on the surface. We dug into it. It's not all that it seems. Not bad, not good. Actually pretty weak. We'll dig into that a little bit later in the show. Also, We're going to have a friend of the show. We've had him on before, Tobias Carlisle. He's written several books that have been widely received, and a brilliant mind in the world of value investing. And we're going to have him on next Friday, and it's going to be a big day for him because he is actually built and launching his own exchange-traded fund that will be a part of our clients' portfolios, because I really believe in he and I have a very similar outlook on value and investing for the long term and not just chasing trends, which is what so many of these ETF investors and portfolios are doing right now, even though they don't know it. I want to get into, again, the opportunity and also the hidden dangers inside of ETFs. So we're going to talk about that later in the show as well. We use ETFs as well. We use them in a much different way than most people do. But I think it's a very fundamental both to understand the pros and cons. And I think that marries up since we're going to have Tobias on. And hopefully the way that we speak about ETFs today and the information we provide you with and the education that we can provide you with will show you why we're using Tobias's ETF as opposed to some of these other ones. So we're going to talk about that. We got, you know, this China-U.S. thing continues to get very, very interesting. And I think there is something that nobody is talking about. And if it seems like I'm spiking the football a little bit today, you know, you know what? No caveats. I am. because all of these people. Now, look, hopefully what you get across from this show is how unbiased we are. Okay. Hopefully that comes across. Because at the end of the day, I am not a political pundit, right? At the end of the day, I'm not a candidate. At the end of the day, I am a fiduciary and steward of our clients' money. And it's our job, whether we agree with it in a principled fashion or not, it is our job to navigate markets and generate the types of returns that our clients need to facilitate and finance their retirement, right? And ideology typically doesn't really help in that process. But the reason why we want to talk about China is I think, again, it's a classic case of a lot of people going off half-cocked on both sides of the argument without all of the information, right? You got the fear-mongers sitting there and I cannot, wait a second, that's not fair. Not fear-mongers. You have the people out there that have at best a rudimentary or a surface type level, a topical understanding of economics. And they know that they believe in free markets and they hear tariff and they think that that's an attack on free markets. Hey, there are brilliant, good, awesome people in this radio station who have said that. So I'm not panning on it. What I'm trying to explain is, we got to be careful what we're listening to and how we're looking at things, because as much as it amazes me, we live in a world of people that go out there and blast their conviction and tell you, we call it strong opinions loosely held, right? They're out there, oh, this is this, and you know, they're telling you how it's got to be and how it is. And then you find out that they didn't really have a good grasp on the situation. Okay, we want to be the opposite and provide color to that. So in relation to the Chinese U.S. developments, and I don't want to tease it out because I think it's a big deal. It's wonkish. Maybe you guys won't find it as fascinating as I, but I think you will. So anyway, let's get into the other parts of the market here. Big news on Tesla. I don't want to break it. We want to get into that early. We're going to save most of our Tesla talk for later because I think if we just look at the stock story, I think we're really missing a lot of lessons, a lot of things that can be taught, and we can do it in retrospect and tie a lot of things together, and I think it's a great educational opportunity. But that's been a big story. The reason why it's a big story is this quarter they just announced came out. It was a bloody disaster. Quite honestly, it was right in line with what I saw. And again, I think this is another part of the lesson that we want to talk about is looking through the smoke, right? Not getting caught up in the emotional side of the argument and seeing it for what it is. Boeing, much the same, guys. Their stock, this market, only in this market, Boeing announced a really bad quarter. Okay. They really did. Everybody's trying to sugarcoat it. It's not bad as in, oh, sell the stock and panic. It's bad as in you've got a stock priced to absolute perfection, which is what we talked about on March 1st. Again, if you think that I'm cherry picking this, go back and pull up the show from March 1st or the first show we did in March. And I think the show's even labeled Boeing and Palo Alto Networks. Okay. Before the first plane crashed, go listen. Again, I'm not telling you this because I'm trying to spike the football. I'm not telling you this because I'm trying to stick my chest out and show you how smart I am. I'm showing you this because I didn't think it would unfold that quickly. Don't get me wrong. But just these are valuable lessons. And it's also great insight to show you how we talk about buy low, sell high. And, you know, for most people, it's window dressing. It really is. Even professionals. What do they want to buy? They want to buy what's going up. And why do they want to buy it? A, human instinct. You'd rather buy something that's got a green arrow to it. Next, the other thing, it's evolutionary, right? Think of stock. This is a good analogy. This is a good analogy that really helped me out. They go, think of stock like food, right? You got green arrows and this beautiful chart next to a stock. That stock looks like brand new fresh fruit that just fell off a tree. It smells good. You look at it. It's suitable to eat, right? It goes into like your animalistic programming that we have, that I happen to believe is a function of God's creation, not necessarily of an accident. But we're not going to get into an evolutionary creation talk here. But right, we all would recognize that our flesh has, you know, animalistic aspects to it, right? Survival, right? Keeping away. Touch something that's hot, we pull our hand away. Investing really tests that, because the same type of programming we would use to decide if food was suitable to eat or not betrays us when picking a stock, because oftentimes the best investment is the thing that looks the worst. The hard part is figuring out the thing that looks the worst that's not, right? A lot of the things that look bad are. But that's how you buy low, and I think it escapes most people. And on the flip side of that whole argument, you got something like Boeing that looks incredible, and it's not that it's bad, but you scratch underneath the surface and you go, it ain't this good either. And that's a problem, because you got the price that's through the roof. So anyway, so bad announcement. No other way to put it. Bad announcement. We'll get into the Boeing discussion later. Oil, big pullback today. Oil continues to rally strong. Look, the really interesting thing about this whole run-up, we quote-unquote set new highs yesterday, but barely to us, we haven't, because it's not a statistical new high. We're still bumping up against these highs, so the trend of the last 16 months is really in play. We got a trading range. We got a top of the market set at 2930. We haven't been able to break through it. We got a bottom of the market at 2300. That's still really in play. I think the odds are that we probably break through and push on to higher highs here, but there's a lot of issues starting to pop up as well in this market in the broader sense, and some bad earnings misses from stalwarts, from things that have led the charge. So we've got to be really careful with that. Bonds continue really not to move much. That's the other issue that we've got with this rally, is you're just not seeing bonds move. I would expect yields to pop up when watching the market run 24% in the last 3.5 months. Again, not all-time highs, guys. We're still on this. Everybody's getting all fired up, and we've still basically gone nowhere in the last 16 months. Just, it's been exciting. It's kind of like running on a treadmill, right? It's a lot of drama, but you're not really getting anywhere. So anyway, got a great show planned for you. I'm pumped to be back. And listen, guys, we're here to educate. We're here to give advice. But as always, we manage money too. And we're trying to tell you that there's a different way. There's a better way to do it than you can get it at the retail outfits. There's ways that we can lower your costs, lower your risk exposure, and not just ride markets up and down. And that's one of the reasons we point out stocks like Boeing and Tesla. I don't know what markets are going to do day to day, week to week, month to month, but there are ways to sit there and go, look, this is overpriced. This is underpriced. We need to constantly be trying to figure out where the best risk reward situations are for our clients, and pivoting and moving and adapting to the environment. And if that's something you're not getting, if that's an aspect that is absent in your portfolio, which I think is absolutely key, and our performance bears it out, it really does, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com, check out the podcast, look at our resources on the website, even have some videos, a lot of great stuff for you. So anyway, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. Thank you so much for joining us. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Volatile markets are never fun, but it provides the opportunity to see exactly how much risk you're exposed to. Like Warren Buffett always says, when the tide goes out, you find out who's been swimming without their trunks on. Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Chances are the defense portion of your portfolio, the bonds, got hit right along with your stocks. So what do you do? Look, safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. By using our bond replacement strategy, our clients have actually increased their returns while being insured against loss and all the while lowering their fees. Call now and get your free copy of our brand new booklet, Common Sense Investing, and learn how to protect your retirement against loss but still participate in market gains. Call 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Or go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Bulwark Capital Management is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. Okay, so let's get right into this one. Now, how does this pertain? So we want to talk about the U.S.-China situation. And, I'll be the first to admit, I am not one of those, I am not the smartest guy in the room. And I know that. Another part of investing is, you know, a full transparency. When I got into this business, I thought I was a lot smarter than I was. You tend to bias your own opinion, right? Especially when it gets proven right. I think one of the toughest things that happened to me in my career was at the beginning of it. Not at the beginning of it, but in the early stages, 08 and 09 happened and we played it perfectly. We actually didn't own a single stock at the end of 2007. And we were up better than 10% from the end of 2007. I don't have a story like The Big Short. Didn't see that happening. But we were up somewhere, I can't remember the exact percentage, but somewhere between 10 to 15% from the end of 2007 till the bottom in March of 2009. And it wasn't as fancy as that sounds. We put all of our money in U.S. Treasuries, and Treasuries got a huge rally. Especially right after Lehman Brothers collapsed. And that convinced me that I was much smarter than I really was. And it's not that we lost money. We actually had another great year because we started buying stocks in the middle of 2009, not right at the bottom. And I was buying very cautious stocks. And a year later, most of them had doubled or more. So that convinced me that I was just a lot smarter than I thought I was, thought I was much smarter than the market. Now, thankfully, and I truly thank God for this, that overconfidence did not yield big losses for clients. What it did yield, though, was periods of time of significant underperformance because I was convinced that we weren't out of the woods yet and that there would be more episodes. I did not think that central banks flooding the markets with as much liquidity as they did would have the impact, especially for as long as it has. I'm going to caveat all that stuff. And the reason why I'm talking about that is because that I took that lesson into this whole China thing. And I think it has made me much better overall. It's taught me that, hey, whatever smarts you have, you can't get burrowed down, right? You can't dig down deep and hole up because you've read a situation correctly or you've had success in the past. What that success would tell you is that when you deploy all of your knowledge and all of your skill and all of your attention, that you are pretty good at rooting out the core of a scenario. But that does not mean you get past the work aspect of it. You can't just look at a situation and go, oh, this is what I think is going to happen. You know, my opinion, it's been right in the past. It'll be right in the future. It's not the way it works. You got to put in the work. And when this whole quote unquote trade war with China started out, because we had done so much work on the China side of it, our opinion was, A, first of all, this isn't a trade war. We've been this, or this is nothing new. We've been in a trade war for 25 years. We just didn't admit it. We didn't know. China was in a trade war with us. We just didn't acknowledge it, right? So then the tariffs come up and everybody starts losing their minds. First of all, the thing that I think is so funny is our good friends on the left-hand side of the aisle are freaking out. All of a sudden, they become beacons of free trade, which I think is so ironic, right? The party that birthed AOC and her ilk is all of a sudden concerned about a curtailing of free markets and free enterprise. I mean, you know, what do you say? Then you got the people on the right who really are free trade advocates go, oh, we can't do this. We're into free trade. And one of the things we said was, wait a second, guys. In my opinion, the sad part about this is that this should be a uniting issue. And if Trump missed any part of this, because honestly, I think he's played it perfectly, and everybody that's listened to this show before knows I'm not just some, you know, Donald Trump sycophant at all. I've criticized him plenty. But he really has played his hand perfectly. And the whole argument from the very beginning of it was, listen, China is essentially a debt-driven Ponzi scheme, and they're allowed to keep using debt to spur on their economy at completely unrealistic, if not completely falsified, growth rates, as long as they can keep the value of their own currency stable. Because if you are not worried about the value of your currency dropping, right, you can print as much as you want and keep backfilling balance sheets, which is what China's been doing. Meaning, if they loan to a company that isn't successful and that starts failing and can't repay their debt, well, People's Bank of China can just step right in and pay that debt off or infuse more capital, and they can keep do it. And they can do that with printed money, because the only thing you have to worry about when you're printing money is you can keep it up as long as your valuation of your currency doesn't drop. And the reason the valuation of their currency didn't drop, now this is really important. I really want everybody to key into this, okay? The reason they kept printing it, and to give you a scope of this, the United States, we sit here and have this conversation about the United States all the time, and everybody's wringing their hands going, we've got so much debt, and we do. It's insane. The amount of debt that we have is insane. It'll never be paid back. You can't grow your way out of it, regardless of what politicians say. Just sit down and do some back-of-the-envelope math, and you'll see where we're at. I mean, it looks bad at record low interest rates, right? But if we extrapolate it out to the rest of the world, it's infinitely worse other places, China being by far the greatest offender. It's taken us 250 years to acquire $22 trillion in debt. China's tacked on $45 trillion in the last 10, okay? So we're talking about a debt expansion of the likes of the world has never seen, okay? So everybody's real question is, well, yeah, but they can keep doing it up. They're China. They can keep doing it. Right, they're China. No, if you break it down to the brass tacks, when will they have to stop? They'll have to stop when it becomes a problem with their currency, because that's how they're doing it. Right, one debt fails, they just replace it with a new one with printed money. Right, I'm making it a little more simple than it needs to be, but for all intents and purposes, that's what's happening. Right, issue bad debt, it fails, tips upside down. That's fine. We'll just issue more money, fill the gap. So The reason that they've been able to keep their currency valuation stable is because far more foreign money or foreign reserves, think dollars, euros, that kind of stuff, has been flowing into China than their own currency has been flowing out. So then the Chinese government can take those dollars and euros and turn around and go buy up their own currency in the global currency markets to keep the valuation steady. But something interesting happened in the last 16 months. For the first time in 23 years, their current account surplus evaporated and went negative. So now all of a sudden they were bringing in less foreign currency than as their own currency was leaving. And tariffs had a role to play in that. And that's been a bit of an issue. And that was the first time where we went, whoa, look at that. And one of the biggest issues or one of the biggest results of this whole tariff thing is that, and it's hard to know which one started which. They're related in some capacity. I think China was running up against natural barriers as early as 2016, and the tariffs have kind of expedited the process, if not just kind of piled on a little bit. But regardless, all of a sudden we've seen that dynamic shift to where all, you know, now their current account surplus has turned into a deficit. Like I said, first time in 23, 24 years. And the whole argument at the time was, let's get back to the fair trade discussion. The whole argument at the time was, wait a second, free trade is a lot different than fair trade. Okay, we may have free trade with China. They don't have it with us. They're tariffing our goods, and maybe they're not directly tariffing our goods, which they are, but maybe they're not directly tariffing our goods. Maybe they're just subsidizing things like their steel, right? Which, you know, we can call it a tariff, we can call it a subsidy. Bottom line is, if the Chinese government is subsidizing the cost of their steel at 25%, they're effectively putting a 25% tariff on our steel, right? They've been doing this for decades. So all we did, really, in effect, was just sit there and go, hey, contrary to a lot of the other talk out there, we're actually going to make this more fair. We're going to see your tariffs, and we're going to match them, right? That's what everybody was panicking about. Oh, you're going to start a war with China. You're going to say, well, what's going on with China? Well, financial stress in China is significantly picking up. China's launched another massive stimulus, which is probably one of the reasons that we've seen stocks rally at the beginning of this year. But we're not seeing the same economic liftoff that we've seen in China every time they'd ramped up the printing presses in the past. Now, another really interesting thing happened. Remember all the talk about China owns so much of our debt and we start this trade war, they're going to start dumping our debt, which they had been over the last 3 or 4 years, 5 years. Not really aggressively, but letting it run off, not buying up as much of our debt as they had in the past. Well, guess what happened? Over the last year, all of a sudden, China holdings and U.S. Treasury started ticking back up again. Surprise, surprise, in the middle of a trade war. Why is that? Because they're a paper tiger. They know that if their Ponzi scheme, like all other Ponzi schemes, if the inflows of capital stop, it blows up. Which is why we were saying, look, we're all for the tariffs. Do this. Let's deal with China now while we're still the bigger economy and we've still got weight to throw around. Let's confront this bully now as opposed to 10 years down the road when they've got a heck of a lot more leverage on us than they do now. And all the hand-wringers come out, right? Oh, reminds me so much of Reagan going against the evil empire in the 80s. Oh, you're going to start a nuclear war. What do we all know? When you're dealing with players like the USSR and China, and I'm going to include China in that. These people out there, oh, China's a new... Look, listen, China is still a totalitarian government that monitors and is invasively involved in their people's lives, restricts travel, illegally imprisons religious dissidents. This is not a good government. This is not a friendly government that likes human or is a beacon of human rights or even appreciates human rights. They're operating to their own political means, even at the expense of their own population. That's just what it is. And now we can play, you know, political correct with all that. You know, they are what they are, especially since Xi Jinping has taken over. And become the first ruler since Mao Zedong to have a lifetime appointment. Wait, Yeah, which is not the most comforting thought. If you know your history, Mao is, Mao's got a colored past. A lot of people on the left don't like to admit that, but he does. But, you know, these are not good people. Certainly not people you'd want watching your kids over a weekend, that's for sure. And anyway, we've seen this whole narrative fall apart. Where, oh, you're going to start this big trade war. We've been in the trade war. And it's been effective. And my biggest fear is that Trump relents and goes for a trade deal just for optics. And I'm hoping he doesn't. I don't think he will. But he's got these guys backed into a corner. And it's going to benefit. It's going to be a great benefit to the world economy. It'll be a benefit to ours. But the important thing to realize is that what he effectively did with those tariffs, and getting back to what I was talking to, people talking about things that they don't understand, is that this is a perfect example. To get to fair trade, to get to free trade, sometimes you've got to apply pressure. Sometimes that pressure is going to be tariffs. And I think they've worked swimmingly. Do I wish we didn't have to? Well, yeah. I also wish I didn't have to mow my yard. You know, I wish I didn't have to change diapers when my kids are little. Life is full. We got this, live in this wonderful PC woke period where we talk about, you know, the way we want things to be as opposed to the way they are, right? Well, I don't think anybody should have to pay for college. Well, I don't either. Do you have a trust fund that you're going to use to? No, you don't. Okay, well, somebody's got to pay for it. Right? It's like the time for the children is over. Let's let the adults come back into the room. And when you look at the Chinese thing without a disdain and hatred for anything that Donald Trump does, including hating him when he just gets out of bed in the morning, sit back and go, hey, this has been a huge success so far. It's not over. But there is capitulation on the Chinese side, and you see it in their holdings of U.S. treasuries. Right, that blew up the whole thesis. Oh, they're going to answer back and dumping our. They can't. They got to own our treasuries and our currency to keep their whole Ponzi scheme afloat. And they've proven that. So anyway, it's a big win. You're not going to hear this take on the media, but it's a big win for Trump. And I think it's a big win in the long run. In the long run. It's not going to make an immediate impact, but in the long run for our economy. So, hey, guys, as always, we got to go. We got to get to our next segment here. Got to take a quick break. But as always, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. And what you're going to hear over and over is us talking about how can we lower your risk exposure, which means when things fall apart, you're not going to lose nearly as much. Can we do it in such a way as not give up upside to the portfolio, right? So if the markets keep running, we're running with them, we're doing great, and lower your costs at the same time. Can we do those things? Yes, we can. Got to think outside of the box. You got to be willing to look at things differently. But we can do it. We do it every day with our clients. And if that's something that interests you, which it should be, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. And maybe you just want to feel it out a little bit. Maybe you don't want to get involved in a phone call or a meeting. Seems like too big of a commitment. Maybe you just want to go back and forth on email. That's fine, too. Go to our website, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com, or just Google Bulwark Capital. It'll come up. We can just email back and forth. We'll show you what we're doing in our portfolios and how it compares to what you're doing in your portfolios and just provide you the information. Go see, there you go. You can also register for our free booklet, which we talk about in the commercial breaks. But anyway, yes, give us a call, knowyourriskradio.com. Go to the website and phone number is 866-779-RISK. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
I have to tell you, what a relief for my wife and me when we got signed up for long-term care coverage. The more I learned about the fact that nearly 3 out of 4 of us will need some form of long-term care in our retirement, there are so many issues at play. For some people, they can't afford it and they become a burden on their friends and family. For others, you do have money set aside, but it wipes out everything that you've saved. And maybe most importantly, it's about having a plan so that all your children have to do is carry out your wishes. It's not a burden on them. And that's why I love the advice we got from Brian Ott and 525 Advisors. We started by going to one of Brian's free classes, and that's what I recommend you do to find out about all the different plans they offer. Brian does have a few classes coming up this month. Seats are limited, so sign up now at 525longtermcare.com. You'll get a free copy of Brian's book, too. Go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
Volatile markets are never fun, but it provides the opportunity to see exactly how much risk you're exposed to. Like Warren Buffett always says, when the tide goes out, you find out who's been swimming without their trunks on. Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Chances are, the defense portion of your portfolio, the bonds, got hit right along with your stocks. So what do you do? Look, safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. By using our bond replacement strategy, our clients have actually increased their returns while being insured against loss and all the while lowering their fees. Call now and get your free copy of our brand new booklet, Common Sense Investing, and learn how to protect your retirement against loss but still participate in market gains. Call 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Or go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Bulwark Capital Management is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back. And, this is the segment that I've been wanting to talk about for a while. And we're going to break into this one here. I want to talk about, first of all, Tesla and Boeing. We'll start off with Tesla. Just a lot of stuff going on there. And I want to use it as a not just entertainment, but also to give you a view or a look into the way that we think about things and the way that I've been taught and the way that I believe that we should think about investing. And, look, when you're 10 years into a bull market like we are now, the longest bull market in U.S. history, in such an odd period of time where we've also had the weakest 10 years of growth in our history as a country, and markets are being fueled by ridiculously low and historically low interest rates and cheap money and central banks flooding the system with $22 trillion of printed money in the last 10 years— a lot of weird things happen, and a lot of people, especially the longer you go into a bull market like that, the ideas get crazier and crazier, and everybody starts acting like they're bulletproof. And let me start off with this. I have seen that attitude, especially with retail investors, in the last 3.5 months to a level of which I have not seen in my entire career. This bullish, bulletproof thought. It's like, The straw that broke the camel's back was that nasty end to 2018 and this sharp bounce back, and everybody's like, okay, to infinity and beyond. First of all, I think we should point out that we have not broken out to new all-time highs. I mean, theoretically we have, but you know, the previous all-time high was 2930. We're at 2931 on the S&P, okay? We're running into massive resistance there. I also think it's important to look at the market and go, guys, this is a market that has essentially gone nowhere for 16, 17 months. Okay. So as excited as you may be, let's put some reality into it and take a step back, because being excited and being euphoric typically will do nothing but lose you money. Okay. Now, one of the poster childs of this age, of this modern gilded age, we call it, of no one caring about balance sheets and cash flow, and listen, there's even worse offenders out there than Tesla. And I think that those shoes are starting to drop with a lot of these stories. You see the Lyft IPO getting blown out of the water because they've got no road to profitability. Then another company, ridiculously traded company, the Zoom Technologies, seems like a good company that's got good things. The valuation is just, it's one of the craziest valuations I've ever seen placed on a stock. Anyway, so there are plenty of other ones out there, but very few that got as big and are well known as Tesla. So Tesla had this launch of their Model 3. Hopefully you guys know all the stories, but we've long looked at Tesla and we've thought that They've got some promising breakthroughs in technology. They're doing some cool things. But the issue we had with it is the valuation got so out ahead of where they were. It just didn't make sense. Okay? So, and it hasn't for a very long time. And if we listen to the arguments of people telling us why it made sense, and they're going to, it didn't flush out. The stuff didn't pencil. Okay? We've done a ton of work on this. You can go back and listen to previous episodes. You can go to our podcast page. But it just, it made no sense. This company was burning cash like it was going out of style. They were pivoting. One week, this is the focus of the firm. 2 weeks later, they're changing. They got massive executive turnover. They've got all these things where we looked at it and said, listen, I understand the story. I understand why people are excited. I understand that they're making some really cool cars. Some I like, some I don't. They're the first company that's really making electronic vehicles a thing, right? Marketable, that people want, that are cool, that perform well, that are viable, right? They did a lot of really cool things. But at the end of the day, my job is not to deploy capital at things that I think are cool or things that I think are going to save the world. Our job is to deploy capital in a way that maximizes risk and reward for our clients, right? And when we looked at a company like Tesla and the euphoria that was around it, we saw exactly what just got announced yesterday, which was a debacle, a train wreck. And the analyst estimates were for them to lose 65 or 68 cents per share this quarter. They lost $2.90 a share. Elon Musk said, now this is their CEO, a month ago. Now, if you don't think he had a good idea what the numbers were going to look like a month ago, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Okay, he did. He came out and said at worst it would be a slight loss. So add that onto another tally of lies that the guy has said where, and again, I don't throw that word around lightly. I'm not calling him a fraudster. I'm not trying to call him a liar. I'm just saying I've actually given the guy the benefit of the doubt and watched and sat back several times, just been like, wow, that was a blatant lie. That did not come to fruition. That didn't happen. He's got massive executive turnover. And this is what I'm talking about when we have to sit back and take a look at the reality and not get caught up in the stories of all this. And more importantly, not getting caught up in the fear of missing out. Right? At the end of the day, these are companies. They're organisms that have to be generating enough revenue and enough profit to pay their employees, to pay their costs, to stay afloat. And if you can take your eyes off the carnival and the madness that is this market, which very few people have the discipline or the will to do, you see the ugly underbelly, which is there's a lot of this junk like Tesla stock floating around that has nothing but ether, gas, and hot air backing it up. And that it will have a collision with reality, and I think Tesla just did that. Now, I'm not saying Tesla's down for the count or going away. What I am saying is that they broke that $250 level on their shares. They're currently trading at $232. $250 had been a line in the sand for the last 2.5 years. It broke it yesterday, and now it's down at $232. I'm reading articles here. Long-term Tesla bull waves the white flag and says the earnings was a debacle, and he can no longer support the stock. Look, you're just going to see a story here. Now, again, like I said, I'm not saying they're going away. I'm not saying it's all done. I'm not saying it's all over. But this is confirmation that they should not be priced anywhere. And look, they're still too expensive. It's still a $40 billion company. And its survival over the next year is very much in question. So that's our point. This should not be priced where it is based on us sitting there looking at the math going, hey, you guys got a problem. You're down to $2.2 billion in cash. Your equity level is too high, meaning I don't think anybody's going to step in here and do an equity-based financing for you at this rate, okay? You can't tack on more debt because your borrowing costs have gone up to 8.5% because maybe even as high as 9% because people are sitting there going, look, this is risky. We're not throwing money at this. And if we are going to throw money at this, you better make it a pretty sweet deal. You better pay me, 8%, 9%, 10% because this is a high-risk loan. And if they borrow money at that risk, they just increase their cash burn and all that other kind of stuff, right? So they're in a pickle here. So what does he come out and do? He announces that they're going to get into the insurance business. This comes out yesterday. He's trying to offset the horrible quarter they just had. Well, that raises more red flags. What is the insurance business all about? It's all about cash flow. Think about it. You can sit there and look at a big buyer, a big pool of cars, and you can calculate within very close percentages, you know, just looking at data, how many accidents you're going to have, the coverage, right? What you could possibly have to pony up. Think about Warren Buffett. He built Berkshire Hathaway on the back of insurance companies. Why? People pay their premiums every single month. You've got this deluge of cash and a very, on something like cars especially, a very predictable outlay. So it's access to capital. Why is Elon Musk announcing that? Because he's got to get his hands on more cash. He's got to keep it floating. And all this, I've been very hesitant to say it, guys, but all this really points to fraud. It points to there's some reason why he hadn't raised cash up to this point. Maybe it's just pride. Maybe it's just ego. But when you see a CEO doing what Musk did, and I think the guy's brilliant. I think some of the stuff he's done at Tesla is incredible. But when you see a CEO who's putting out guidance that you know is inaccurate, that later proves to be inaccurate, when you hear him putting out tweets that say $420 secured, funding secured, and you know for a fact that's not possible, that it comes out that it wasn't real, you see massive executive turnover, especially at chief financial officer, CFO roles. All of these are classic signs of something being wrong. That all the Tesla longs got all hung up in the story and believe in Musk. And listen, you don't invest to believe in somebody. This is not a church. This is your money. We should always be skeptical. And if a CEO or a financial advisor or anybody else is trying to pitch you an investment pushes back or is offended by your skepticism, that should be your first, you know, hint to run the other direction. I tell our clients all the time, they go, Zach, you know, I don't want to offend you or anything. And I go, look, there's nothing you can ask me that doesn't offend you. You've trusted me with your life savings. I should be an open book. I should expect skepticism. As a matter of fact, we should welcome skepticism. And when people push back, when you see all these warning signs, stay away. And it doesn't mean you're always going to be right, but 9 times out of 10, when you see a CEO, we talked about this 2 years ago, you see a CEO who's obsessed with short sellers. Oh, the short sellers are after us. Look, I've never seen a scenario in which a CEO was obsessed with short sellers and it didn't end up being some type of fraud. I've never seen it. Because if you're a CEO with a solid business, you don't care about short sellers because you know eventually your business is moving in the right direction. It's going to run them over anyway. Why waste the time? Why are you bringing yourself down to that level? Well, it's because maybe all you've got is ether and smoke and you just can't have anybody prick that bubble because if you do, all the hot air leaks out of the balloon. So we'll get into Boeing a little bit in the next segment. We got to run here. Went a little over, as always. But keep an eye on Tesla, guys. This thing has broken that $250 range that we've been watching for now 2 years. And a lot of lipstick just came off that pig yesterday. And a lot of people are starting to see it for what it is. And the other part of this is I kind of think this is a first shoe to drop. There's a lot of other Teslas around right now. And keep an eye out because usually these things kind of They come in waves. And I think my opinion at this point is this is kind of the first wave of people going, wait a second, we need to start looking at these things a little bit closer. We need to start using more of a jaundiced eye. So anyway, keep an eye on Tesla. But as always, if you're looking for you know, an advisor that's watching these kind of things, that's paying attention to these market moves, that's really keeping an eye on risk management, trying to generate better returns at a lower cost with less cost structure, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can get our free booklet, Common Sense Investing. You can go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Go to Bulwark Capital. Get our white paper written by Roger Ibbotson that's up on the page that talks about our bond alternative videos, all that stuff. You can also follow us at KYR Radio on Twitter. Have some great stuff on there. Post a lot of economic information, a lot of market insights. So anyway, stick with us. We've got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham.
Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Volatile markets are never fun, but it provides the opportunity to see exactly how much risk you're exposed to. Like Warren Buffett always says, when the tide goes out, you find out who's been swimming without their trunks on. Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Chances are the defense portion of your portfolio, the bonds, got hit right along with your stocks. So what do you do? Look, safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. By using our bond replacement strategy, our clients have actually increased their returns while being insured against loss and all the while lowering their fees. Call now and get your free copy of our brand new booklet, Common Sense Investing, and learn how to protect your retirement against loss but still participate in market gains. Call 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Or go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Bulwark Capital Management is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back. And we're going to get into it. Okay, so we got to combine, as always, ran a little over. Yeah, no, nothing's changed. I try to stick to it. Tough. Okay, so gonna go a little rapid fire here. First of all, Boeing. Reason we want to bring Boeing up, obviously it's a local company. Obviously, probably many of you have worked for Boeing or know somebody that does. And I'm gonna add my caveat in as always. I've got family that's worked at Boeing, works at Boeing. We've got employees who've got family that works at Boeing. We're fans. Okay. But again, what is our primary job? It's to look out for our clients. The other reason why is, remember when I told you that I have never seen retail investors as excited about the market as they are right now? One of the things that I hear them talking about constantly is, oh, Boeing, it's an opportunity to get in there and buy Boeing on the dip. Okay. As always, I do not know which direction stocks are going to go. I don't have a crystal ball either. What I can tell you is, point you back to earlier in our show, we were waving the red flag at Boeing at the end of February, beginning of March, when stock hit $4.46 a share. Since then, it's down, what is that, 10, 20, 40? It's down about 15%, not huge. And then yesterday, they came out with earnings guidance, or earnings. And it wasn't good. It wasn't a good quarter. Wasn't a disaster by any stretch of the imagination. But there are two things they clearly missed, okay? And that's a problem because the stock is priced to perfection. And we've talked about that. And it's trading at some of the highest valuations that Boeing has seen in the last 30 years. It's run up 300% in the last 3 years. And during a period of time where their revenue has increased by about 7%. Okay, that's a bit of a red flag. It's where you sit there and go, whoa, that's kind of odd. And it's all based on perfection. And they're no longer perfect. The other two things I think that nobody's looking past, everybody's going, oh, look, I don't think the 737 is all of a sudden going to get grounded all over the world and is not going to be allowed to fly again. I don't think some fraud about Boeing knowing it was screwed up and it cost people lives, I don't think that's necessarily going to happen. I don't think that's the case. Like I've said all along, I think what you see with Boeing is a classic example of a management company that got way too focused on stock performance at the cost of their underlying business. That worked for a long time, and now I think that they're close to the end of this run. Could be wrong, but they said two important things yesterday that everybody is glossing over. And it amazed me because the stock had not a good quarter. They announced their earnings. They announced that, I mean, it was profit dropped by like $2 billion, something like that. It was not good. I went through it yesterday. I should have had more of the particulars, but that's okay. But there was two really important things they did. First of all, they suspended their forward guidance. Okay. Now everybody goes, oh, it's not a big deal. It's a lack of see-through, but that's nonsense. Let me just tell you something. Remember when we had Bill Fleckenstein on at the end of last year, he shorted Apple at like 230 a share and then covered it at like 158. He is the only guy in the world I knew that was short Apple. You know what the number one thing that he did, or the number one thing that cued him in? was right when Apple suspended forward guidance. The only reason why companies are going to suspend forward guidance and quit telling you about the future is because they see it slowing. They see it not living up to the estimates or the outlays that they have suggested. It is not a good deal. It is not temporary. I have never seen a company suspend forward guidance. I'm sure there's an example out there, okay? There's always an exception to the rule. But whenever you see a company suspend forward guidance, it's not because they don't know what's going to happen. It's because they do know what's going to happen, and they know it's not going to be good, and they know it's not going to live up to the projections that they have made. Now, additionally, that's not the only thing. Boeing also suspended its stock buyback program. So now one of the largest buyers of Boeing stock over the last 3 years has just said that they're going to exit the market. So what does the stock do? It goes up 2% on this news. Why does it go up 2% on this news? Let me just tell you something. It wasn't institutional buyers in there. It's retail. They think it's buy Boeing on the dip. Listen, that wasn't a dip, guys. At least that's not my thought. When a company suspends forward guidance like that, and they suspend a stock pullback, a buyback program, in the midst of the issues that Boeing is also dealing with, what it tells you is that they see trouble coming down the pipe. I'm not saying they're going bankrupt. I saw a guy out there going, oh, Boeing's going down. No, they're not. It's not this. I just think their stock happens to be a good 50 to 60% overvalued. That's all there is to it. And it's not attractive on a valuation basis, no matter how you look at it. It's grotesquely overvalued and overvalued to a level that I haven't seen in the last 30 or 40 years, probably not ever, based on the revenue growth. That's the other side of it. This thing's priced like it's growing like a weed. It's not. So the other thing I think market-wise, guys, is nothing has changed. Everybody's going to talk about the great GDP report that came in today. Hey, on the surface of it, on the face of it, it does look good. You dig down underneath the numbers, it doesn't look that good. A lot of it was just inventory restocking. Sales were down. So businesses ran through their inventory at the end of last year. A lot of this GDP build, most of the GDP report reflects high 1% growth, low 2% growth. The only thing that got us up to 3.2% is restocking of inventories. That is not actually sold things. Those are not products that have actually been sold. That isn't actual economic activity that's taken place. That's the anticipation of it. So what we continue to see is that this global slowdown, it's not horrible, but it continues to roll on. Things are not looking brilliant. And the problem is the stock prices still do. So, and again, despite the euphoria that so many out there are feeling it, I don't really get it. Nothing has changed. Still the most expensive stock market in U.S. history on 9 out of 10 metrics. I think caution is still the name of the game. I think that we very well could go on to set significantly new high watermarks on the S&P. But you've got companies like Boeing, you got companies like Tesla, you got companies like Amazon came in with their slowest growth rate at any point in the last 7 years, 8 years, 10 years, something like that. These are bellwether stocks. Again, it's not panic time, but what it is time to sit there and say is, hey, are we paying too much for these stocks? And if you're invested in a lot of this stuff right now, yes, you are. Yes, you are. And the overall picture of this stuff hasn't changed. And if you want less, there's a better way to go about doing this, guys. We can position the portfolios where we still have our stock exposure, but focusing more on the undervalued stuff. And we swap out our bonds for our bond replacement program, which gives you more upside to markets, but is also insured against loss with no management fee. So what's the net effect? The net effect is if the stock market continues to go up and we're wrong, your account's doing better than the typical stock bond portfolio that you're currently sitting in. The flip side is if this is the end or getting close to it, which we think we are close to the end, and the chair's about to get pulled out, and we've got another nasty recession and market drop ahead of us, you're gonna have a chair when the music stops. It's a better way to invest. At least educate yourself on there. Can you get 50 to 60% upside of the stock market and being guaranteed against loss with no risk? Yes, you can. Just give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Follow us on Twitter at KYR Radio. Anyway, you guys know the deal. Also call, get our free booklet, Common Sense Investing, that goes over our bond replacement strategy. And educate yourself, guys. There's a better way to do things. Anyway, we got to run. Hope the Hawks keep it up in the draft. And we will see you guys next week. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.